what's up, everybody? This is Gabriel Iglesias. It's Fluffy. Yes, it is. And you're checking out the Dana Cortez Show, the best morning show in the world.
En todo el mundo.
Today is the big day. My baby girl, Ava-matic. Oh, sorry. Our baby girl, Ava-matic, is graduating. Good morning. It's the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
Okay. I had several emotional breakdowns yesterday.
You're definitely on a roller coaster of emotions.
Oh, I am. And it's because my relationship with Ava-matic is going to change. Not necessarily in a bad way, but I'm mourning what it was because it won't be that anymore. Now, I have two older daughters. I was only 15 when I had Kirsten, my oldest. And I know how different the relationship got when she left the house. Same for my middle child, Stasia. And so now Ava's entering into that phase. And I am definitely sad, excited and happy and proud and all that. But also, I don't know. She's my baby. And, you know, and since I was 15, I've had a child in the house. And now I'm not going to have a child in the house, which is why I bought a cat.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, it's all a lot to process. I mean, it feels like I was taking that picture of Ava and her little boots on her first day of school in kindergarten.
Oh,
like, it feels like yesterday. When people say that it flies by and you're like, oh, that sounds dumb. No, it really does. It flies by. It feels like it's just in an instance. She went from kindergarten to now she's graduating. And I couldn't be more proud of her.
She's turned out
to be such a great person, a great individual. She's going to the University of Arizona. She's going to stay in the dorms.
Yeah. Well,
the only thing I'm not happy about is she does want to be in a sorority, but that's a whole other conversation.
Well, and not just that, Otto, you just mentioned University of Arizona. She's far, and so the, you know, planes and travel and all of that, there's just so much going on. And you mentioned her photo. I have to say this. Oh my gosh, she wore cowboy boots on her first day to school. And for her senior photos, she wore her cowboy boots.
Not the same pair.
Obviously not. I did not get to graduate like this because I just mentioned I had my daughter so young. I graduated late. Anthony, do you remember walking across that stage and that feeling? And who was there watching you?
I feel like my whole family, like my immediate family was there.
Oh.
But also, I was really extreme. I was late to the graduation ceremony.
Why? So why were you late?
Honestly, I don't know why, but I literally got there as they were walking down to like the ceremony area where I'm from. They did it in like a big basketball arena. Of course, my last name is Almanzar, so I was one of the first people like to be down there. Yeah, and so I was literally running down on the side to catch up to everybody. It was like a moment, but also I was just relieved to make it on time.
Oh yeah, you were running, and it's almost summer when graduation is happening. Were you sweating?
Yeah. No, it was all inside. So
okay, that's good.
That was a big highlight of mine is that I was almost not there. And then being that I'm in the front of the class, I had to go up first.
So. Mine was way different. So I got there early because I didn't know if I was going to graduate or not. If my math teacher didn't pass me, I wasn't going to graduate. So
automatic.
I got to the school early. I ran in to see if my name was on the seat. I saw that my name was on the seat. I was like, thank God. Now I'm graduating because my grandma, everybody had come from Minnesota. And then I ran back out to the parking lot and I went and did a bunch of shots with all my friends. And then we
That is the horrible story. What are you talking about? First of all, I had to
celebrate the fact that I was graduating.
But wait a minute. You didn't even know and you already had the shots ready to go. Also, you had your family fly in. And you didn't even tell them that you might not be graduating? Everybody wasted all that money?
You can't lead with that. And it never happened. So everything went as planned. Yeah. They had no idea that I might not graduate. I didn't tell anybody. The only person I told was my mom. And my mom was like, if you don't graduate...
She was so disappointed.
She was like, I can't even control what your dad's going to do.
And did they know you took shots before?
They probably figured it out when they smelled me, but yeah.
Well, hopefully our daughter has more sense than that, and she won't be taking shots before. She won't take one shot till she's 21.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, sure.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
I think everyone in this studio would agree that cheating on your partner is an absolute no. You never do it.
Bad idea.
Of course, automatic. But that being said, if your partner does cheat, it's not okay to murder their lover.
Whoa.
Today's Crazy Crimes of Passion, we're going to talk about Armando Barone. September 2020, this 31-year-old man took his wife's phone and found text messages between her and her coworker, Jonathan Amaral. His wife, Brittany, tried denying that the affair was happening, and Armando did not believe her. He ended up abusing her to the point that she went unconscious. Both eyes were completely shut. He broke her nose, shattered parts of her face as well, and then proceeded to text Jonathan, her lover, pretending he was Brittany, asking to meet him. Jonathan did. At that point, Armando had Brittany at gunpoint. He thought that Armando was going to let him live. He ended up throwing him in the back of his own vehicle, took him to a remote area where he then forced Brittany to participate in beating Jonathan and said he would kill her if she didn't comply. Here's part of her testimony in court.
You asked a moment ago about when you cut and decapitated Jonathan. What was the defendant doing while you did that?
Watching me do it.
Yes, it was that gruesome. Thank goodness she was allowed to live. He left her in that remote area with Jonathan's body and said, when the sun comes up, I'll come back for you. You'll be forgiven. He came back for her. He tried to dispose of the body, forcing her to clean the vehicle. Anyway, he got caught.
And he's serving life now.
Okay, so yeah, here is the judge talking to Armando after the court case is done.
The depravity of your actions in single-handedly causing the immense suffering and the death of Jonathan Amaral show an extreme indifference to the value of human life. Your actions were brutal, they were absolutely horrific, and they were completely senseless.
And she's right. Here's the thing. It's unnecessary, as the judge said, because all you have to do is leave your wife, sir. What are you doing?
And this course is gruesome, but also there's a stat that it's close to 50% or above 50% where female homicides in situations like this are because of lovers or ex-lovers. So like men, we really as a whole need to work on the way we feel when we react when we get disrespected like this.
I mean, obviously you're going to be upset if your partner cheats on you, but I think at this point when you start thinking like this, this is when you just go away. Well, you're not around any of these people.
He was not in his right mind. Brittany was the victim of abuse prior to this, which is why she started seeing Jonathan. Now, Jonathan's mother stood in court and faced Armando and said this.
The loss of Jonathan to this world is incredibly sad. But the saddest part of all is that in spite of him being surrounded by so many wonderful people, this evil creature just slithered right through us all and took him from us.
That was their only child, her and her husband's only child. I thought that Brittany might not be sentenced because she was coerced at gunpoint to do what she did, but she was also sentenced to 7 years in prison. Here's what she said to Jonathan's parents.
As a mother, I know in my heart that justice will never be served. No amount of prison time or life sentences will take the pain away or undo the past.
Nothing in the world she can do. As a mother, she said, I know that there's nothing I can say or do to make you feel better, but I am sorry.
That's just interesting to me that she went from victim to now she's being sentenced.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that because she didn't want to. Nothing would have happened had she not initiated the initial relationship with this man. But I don't know that that makes you guilty of murder.
Being a victim of abuse is still something that a lot of people don't understand. They might say, why wouldn't you just leave? Why wouldn't you tell someone? And you're so brainwashed, you can't see freedom. You feel this person has control over you. Armando received life in prison without the possibility of parole, as well as 45 to 100 years for additional charges. He will never see the light of day.
Rightfully so.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Automatic and I, we are at the next phase in our life, I feel like, because our daughter, Ava-matic, is graduating. And there's one thing, well, there's a million things that I'm really worried about, but there's one thing in particular about her going off to college. I'm so proud of her that I'm most concerned about. And it's totally selfish that she's not going to want to call me every day and she's not going to need me as much.
Oh, and that's a good thing.
You're right. And I don't want her to need me. I really don't, but I'm going to miss that because I've already been through it. Oh, I'm going to cry. I've already been through it with her two older sisters.
And now this is your baby, so this is the last go at it.
Yes, and I keep reminding myself, you know, we had this conversation, Otto. Are we going to have any more children? You know, is this it? Are we done? And we decided no. We closed shop. Thank you for that vasectomy appointment. But it is so strange to me because I did have Kirsten, my oldest, when I was 15. This is the first time in my adult life that I will not have a child in my home. literally since I was a child.
You can just do what my dad used to do. So when we moved out, my dad would call me every single morning at 7:30. He'd say, I'm just calling to make sure you're awake for school. But I know the reason he was calling me is because he missed me. He just wanted to talk to me. So looking back on it, I hated that phone call because I'd probably be out all night the night before. But it was a sweet thing for him to do. And it meant a lot to me now thinking back on it.
And there's one more thing I'm worried about. And you just said it. I was out all night the night before. What were you doing in college, Automatic?
I was doing what you do in college, Dana. That's the thing that you get.
Daughter's going to do.
It's going to happen. She's going to go out there and live life and experience things on her own, and you have to be ready for it.
I know. And she's just my baby. And so I was thinking, should we just have another baby? So I was like, no, we should not. But I'm so happy and excited. And at the same time, I have this sense of sadness because it's a new phase. And we were at her graduation party, Anthony, and we're having this great time. But there's other moms there, and we're all kind of having the same conversation because, and a lot of them still have kids in their home, you know, a lot of them. But for me, it's different. They're all feeling it, though. Just, oh my gosh, this is so exciting.
Yeah.
But
it's a tough adjustment. And I think every family's different, too, because I feel like myself and a lot of my friends, once we moved out, we actually talked to our parents more than when we lived with them or near them, honestly. The first time I moved out of state, I was on the phone with my mom every single day.
Did you miss her, Anthony? Like, you were like, Mama.
Well, miss her too. And then you just start to realize, like, you're out on your own. You need life advice. And who's the first person you're going to call is mom.
I know.
Of course, it's going to be like, you know, a duality of you're proud and you're sad at the same time. But who knows? She might be calling you more than you anticipated.
That would be nice.
I mean, look at Stasia. She calls you every hour.
My daughter, Stasia, my middle child, calls me every day, all the time.
Then, that is like a lot of it then. A lot of it is like once you move out, you'll be surprised how much more grateful you are for your parents and how much you actually want to call them now that you're away from them. So I have a strong hint that she's actually going to be on the phone a lot more than you anticipate.
You know, and it's not necessarily that she's not going to be on the phone, Anthony. I know she will. And Automatic, you know, she's going to call us, you know. But the thing is that the relationship changes. It is different, and I've done this twice before. I'm going to miss my baby.
Is this the reason why you bought a cat?
Yes.
Oh, there it is. Got an emotional support cat.
Because I'm watching Dana right now. She's about to break into tears.
I am so emotional. I am. You know, but we got a cat coming so that I can be my baby.
You should be proud.
I'm so proud. I am, but this is it for her.
You should be excited for her. She's on to the next big step in her
life.
Don't
mistake my emotion for not being excited. I'm just like, oh my gosh, she did it. You know, she's doing all the things that I wanted her to, and I couldn't be more proud. I remember holding her, you know, 2007, I was holding her, and now she's like, I'm off to college. To all the graduating seniors, congratulations. And to all the moms going through it, congratulations, we did it.
Get yourself together, man. You're all over the place right now. You're crying, you're laughing.
I know, I literally am. This has been like the last week. I can't wait till we pick up our cat next week.
Cat has no idea what he's in for.
He doesn't.
No idea.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I sent an email off with a swear word, and I didn't realize it until later, and now no one has answered my email. So I don't know what to do. Have you ever written an email and then you think, you know what? Right before it goes off, you have that little option to undo it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that happened to me last week. I emailed a very important person, okay, when it comes to the show. And I had asked her a question. She responded, and I kind of skimmed her email. I was resending a question. I thought, wait a minute, undo.
I knew this story was in trouble the moment you said skimmed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I undid it, though, and I went through, and I thought, thank God I didn't ask what I was going to ask, because she had been very thorough, answered everything I asked, along with an attachment. So I saved that, right? I saved myself the embarrassment. This time, I asked about how many shots this person had with a client, how many times to meet, blah, blah, blah. And
wait, hold on. What do you mean? How many shots? How many?
Like, how many opportunities do you have to meet with this person?
Okay.
Like, how much time?
Should have used that word.
Well,
that's what you should have used.
I probably should have. And so instead of shots, it said. And the person hasn't answered me. The salesperson hasn't answered me.
They probably think you called them a
They probably think you want to meet in the bathroom stall.
Or they probably think that I don't like the client, or that I don't like salespeople, or that I'm a freaking rude idiot. One or the other.
You're overthinking it. It's never too personal, even though that is very unprofessional right there.
But unprofessional. They're probably going to be like, forget you. I don't even want you to meet my client anymore.
That's an honest typo. You could just flush it away. I actually was introducing my other friend the other day, and I was so confident that I remembered her name correctly, and it's Alika, and I was running around saying, hey, y'all should meet my friend Akila.
No!
Dude, until
dyslexia
she...
got you.
That's what I blamed it on. I blamed it on dyslexia.
Dyslexia. It wasn't that good a friend. And then she's like, this is my friend. I don't know her name.
Dude, and then she did it so nice and backhanded. She was like, Anthony, what is my name? And I was like, and I knew I was
you
in trouble. I was in trouble right there, dude. I knew that was my moment.
At least you got an immediate response. I'm still waiting.
You just gotta call everybody man like me. What's up, man? How you doing, man? I call everybody man because I intentionally don't say people's names, because over the course of being a DJ, you know how many security guards I've met, how many bartenders I've met, how many different salespeople from radio stations I've worked with, people. Everyone's man.
It's not a binary situation. No. Everybody's
a man.
What's up, man?
Ladies man.
Everybody's a man.
He calls ladies.
What's up, man? Instead of saying bud, because I feel like bud is kind of annoying.
Bud is so derogatory.
Yeah.
Do you think I should email the salesperson and with an apology, or start a new thread?
I don't think anybody really gives a shit.
I care.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.